Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski in for Joe today. Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking Titans, all things AFC South. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Michael DeRocco, who covers the Jags for ESPN. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all today?
D-Rock, how are they treating you?
Can't complain. Everybody seems to be happy down here in Jacksonville for a change after the end of last season. Waiting on my free bottle of mayonnaise fragrance, though. I'm assuming that you've got some of that packed up for me, PK, and already sent.
Well, they're actually it's very limited. So he sold out. The marketing is fantastic. They sold out of yesterday's, and I was saying earlier I have an alarm set for when it goes back on the market today. We'll see if I could survive the mad rush. But I could see you smelling like mayonnaise.
I was just going to say, if I come up there to that press box in December and you're not smelling like mayonnaise, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, it's the ladies love it. I'm sure my wife would be. Really, I'm going to pull her across the room to me with eau de mayonnaise.
Yes.
The Jaguars thing last year was, I was talking to Pete Prisco, our mutual friend down here from CBS. And he said they didn't learn how to win. And wondering if you agree with that and what you think gets them over the hump in that department.
Yeah, in the locker room after that loss in Nashville last year, Josh Allen, you know, said, hey, you know, remember 2022 when we found it in the second half of the season? He said everybody here was just waiting around for that spark to happen again, and it never did. And that's a pretty damning statement because it means nobody grabbed anybody else by the throat or grabbed their face mask or stood up in the locker room and said, hey, this is enough. This losing has to stop. This isn't what we're doing isn't good enough. Your effort isn't good enough. My effort isn't good enough. I think that is a big part of their problem is there's a big difference in being the team that comes out of nowhere that nobody's ready for and being the team that everybody's coming for. And that's what the Jaguars found themselves in last year. Now, obviously, the injuries didn't hurt to Kirk and Zay Jones and along the offensive line, and clearly Trevor Lawrence was banged up the last month of the season. So that all played a factor into it. But, you know, it's not a coincidence that they brought in guys like Mitch Morse, the center from Buffalo, and Darnell Savage, the safety from Green Bay, Devin Duvernay from Baltimore, Gabe Davis from Buffalo, Eric Armstead from San Francisco. Those six guys, and I'm probably missing some, but Ronald Darby as well. But those six guys have 49 playoff games, 12 conference title game appearances, and 3 Super Bowl appearances. So that's not a coincidence that they brought those veterans in, guys that have been there at the end of the season, guys that have played in games that – you know, like that Tennessee game up there, the season finale last year, where it's a do-or-die kind of game. So that's sort of a big issue. The question is, though, can they stay healthy? Can some of these older guys stay healthy? But now they feel like they finally got the good mix of those veteran guys that have been there and know what it takes to win and the talented guys that they've had for the last couple of years.
We know Calvin Ridley was very close to returning to Jacksonville, and the Titans kind of swooped in and stole them, if you will. What do you think the Titans are getting there? How big a loss for the Jags? And is Gabe Davis kind of the replacement? Different kind of guy, bigger, not as fast. What are the Titans getting?
Calvin Ridley didn't know where he was supposed to be all of the time and wasn't 100% sure of some of those checks all of the time. And missed some, for sure, missed some adjustments, and still ended up with 1,000 yards. So what they're doing is they're getting a guy that if he can, once he finally feels comfortable in the offense, I mean, he's a 1,200, 1,300-yard receiver without question. I mean, he's still got the same skills he had when he was down there in Atlanta. I mean, during camp last year, he was the best player on the field here in Jacksonville. So I expect him to kind of continue. Now, it just sort of depends on how quickly he feels comfortable in the offense, how quickly he picks it all up and he develops that chemistry with Levis. But, you know, they've got a game breaker there who can turn games around as long as, you know, like I said, he's comfortable with everything he's doing. And that takes time with anybody. But with Calvin Ridley, it may take a little bit longer than maybe anticipated.
Michael Draco with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, obviously, a huge deal for Trevor Lawrence in the offseason. You mentioned Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas Jr., drafted in the first round. As you look at the offense, how equipped is the offense this year, in your opinion, to have more success than we saw a year ago? And how much pressure is on Lawrence after signing the deal to have a career year this season?
Yeah, you know, Gabe Davis isn't the same kind of player as Calvin Ridley, but he's 25 years old. I think he's got 30 touchdown catches, and he averages 17.6 yards a catch in his career. So, or 16.7 yards per catch in his career. So, you know, the Jags wanted to go downfield more offensively. That's why they brought in Gabe Davis in addition to the veteran stuff, and why they signed Brian Thomas, or drafted Brian Thomas Jr., you know, the kid out of LSU. They want to go downfield a lot more than they have in the past. Now, that was partly because of the offensive line and partly because of some injuries that I mentioned before, but I think this offense has a chance to be really, really good. The second half of the 2022 season, when they were just putting up points, that's what I think this offense can be again if the offensive line's any good. That was a major issue for them last year, and they ran it all back except for the center, Mitch Morse. They brought the left guard back, who was hurt. They brought the left tackle back, the right guard, who's always hurt. They brought back as well Brandon Sheriff. So that's the key for me. Is if this offensive line can just be a middle-of-the-pack offensive line. They don't have to be great, just middle-of-the-pack. And last year they were at the bottom of the league in pass-block win rate and run-block win rate. Then that offense has a chance to be really, really productive. And as for Trevor Lawrence, look, it's year four, year three with Doug Peterson. When you sign a big deal that you end up with $55 million a year average annual salary, there's no more excuses now. They've paid him, and it's on his shoulders. You've got to make this team a consistent winner. You've got to make the guys around you better. And more importantly, you got to stop turning the ball over. 60 turnovers in 3 years is just ridiculous. I looked this up the other day. He's played 3 years. His next fumble will break the record for most fumbles in franchise history.
Wow.
I mean, that's just crazy. So, look, if that offensive line plays better and Trevor Lawrence stops turning the ball over – guys stay healthy, then I think this has got a chance to be a top 10 offense without question.
So we know last year everybody was picking Jacksonville heading into the year. This year it's going to be Houston. Everybody's going to pick Houston to win the division. How do you view this division as a whole heading into this year? Do you think that all four teams have a chance to be in playoff contention late in the season? How do you view what we may see from the AFC South this year as a whole?
I think it's going to be the most competitive division in the league. I really do. I like all the moves that the Titans have made. I like the moves the Texans made. The one that I'm not sure how that's going to work out is the Stephon Diggs stuff. Is that going to blow up in their face? Can C.J. Stroud handle Stephon Diggs if he goes full diva, which we all expect, because that's kind of the way he is. So you wonder how that's going to shake out. And how do the Texans handle, you know, being the team that everybody's coming for? That's, you know, we talked earlier, that's something the Jaguars didn't handle very well at all. You know, can they handle it a little better? But I think, you know, I think the Texans are probably the best team in the division. I'll pick them to win it. But after that, it wouldn't surprise me if any of the other three teams finish second. And I would not be stunned either if we're entering December and all four teams have a shot at a wild card berth, have a shot at one of the wild card berths. I mean, I just think it's going to be that competitive and that close. We might see it come down to the last weekend of the season like we did last year, which was really fun, to be honest with you.
If it's not a breakout year for the Jags, will the fan base be restless with Peterson?
A little bit, because I think down here there's the – Doug Peterson should grab play calling duties again. He should do that and you know, put Press Taylor on the bench. You know, Doug Peterson called plays the first half of games in 2022 and Press Taylor called plays in the second half of games. And we all saw how they rallied in the second half of the season and how they had a lot of success in the second half of games. Last year, fans down here, they want Press Taylor gone. I think if we're talking about all the problems this team had last year, who's calling plays is like ninth or tenth on my list of problems that they had to deal with last year. But you know how fans are, man. They seize on one thing and, you know, bad play calls, that's a terrible play. You know, so there's a little bit of heat on Doug to go ahead and become the play caller again, which I don't think is going to happen. But if it's another, you know, 9-8, they're not in it in the last week of the season, there's going to be some pressure because the owner has said, he said it twice now, he said it right after the stadium deal was done, and he said it on the broadcast the other night, hey, time to win is now. So when your owner's saying that, there's probably going to be a little heat on you if you don't.
Well, Michael, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, and we'll see if we can get you some cologne in the future too.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Have a good season, pal.
Thanks, Paul.
Michael DiRocco, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Some interesting stuff that he said there on Calvin Ridley that I want to drill down on coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.